shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting From The Lip on Sputnik International with me, John Gaunt. And have I got a good guest for you today? It's Mike Hookham. He's the former UKIP MEP for Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire. And he's got a lot to say, and it's not just on fishing, but that's where we're going to start today. Delighted to say Mike joins me now.
Shooting From The Lip.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Well, it's great to have you on. Let's talk about fishing, can we, to start with. This has been a bee in your bonnet for years, and we still haven't got it settled, but we're meant to be leaving the EU. Explain what's going on.
Well, yeah, you're right. This is a bee in my bonnet. Where I'm sat at the moment is in Hull, which was the largest fishing port in the country, decimated by the Cod Wars, but betrayed by the Conservatives, when they handed our waters over to the European Union. One of the biggest issues when we was campaigning to leave the European Union was regaining our waters and regaining our fishing grounds. Now, being at this, we came out in 2016, or we won the vote in 2016. We've been 4 years at this now. 4 years and 4 months, less than 4 months before we leave, we still haven't sorted out what's going to happen with the fishing industry. You know, the second reading of the bill was last night in the Parliament, and looking at the people there that was debating on it, they know absolutely nothing about the fishing industry. You know, we need our waters back. It's quite simple to me. Let's take them back. Let's stop the European Union plundering our waters. It's a natural resource that swims around our coast. It puts food on the table of the population. It's ours. We should have it back.
And do you not think we're going to get it back? Do you think this is going to be a failure? Is Boris going to give in on this issue?
Well, I've always said, I don't trust the Tories, I don't trust politicians, to be truthful. I've always said that it would sell us down the road. And, you know, looking at what he's doing now, I think that's what's going to happen. We've got a big issue, John. When they say that we are going to leave the European Union and be an independent coastal state, really, that's not true. Because what we have is vessels, what they call flagship vessels, vessels sailing under a UK flag, fishing in our waters. These vessels are owned by no one in the UK. They're owned by people in Iceland and in Holland and France and Germany and Spain. So if they're still fishing, then it's the European Union by the back door is taking fish out of our waters. And I'm looking now, there's a vessel now, I'm a bit of a nerd now because I'm following these vessels. There are five vessels that are UK registered and put Hull as their home port. One of those is a Northern Joy, right? That vessel, I've got it on the screen now, 2 days ago left Holland. It is sailing to the fishing grounds. It will fish just off the east coast of England, round about Lowestoft. It will catch its load. It will take it back to Holland and it will offload its catch in Holland. No benefit whatsoever to British fishing coastal communities. None whatsoever.
Okay, understand. And of course, that's having devastating effects and has had devastating effects on places like Hull, as you say. What about the wider issue? There's rumours now that Boris, because we're getting towards the end of the discussion, we might not walk away with no trade deal. He might give in totally. Do you think that could happen?
Yeah, I've got a sneaking feeling the deal's already been done. And what they're doing now is how can they sell this deal to the British public? And this is what this is all about. It's all gamesmanship. They need a deal with the European Union and the European Union needs a deal with us. The European Union want it to be business as usual. The British people, the 17.4 million people that voted out of the European Union, want rid of the European Union. I think we're going to get shafted on this. I think he's going to come back with a deal and say, this is the best deal we can get. It's absolutely fantastic. But when you dig down into it, it's not going to be the deal.
And also, do you think, Mike, that that's been aided and abetted in a way by the COVID pandemic? He can use that as a smokescreen.
Well, yeah, you know, a few months ago, and he said, well, we can't have a face-to-face meeting because of COVID. Well, he's asking everybody else to work from home. So why didn't they work from home? You know, we could have been having these meetings by Skype or Zoom or whatever. And, you know, that's delayed it again. It's a complete mess. I just don't trust the Conservative government. It was a Conservative government that sold us out back in the 70s. It's a Conservative government that's going to sell us out again.
Okay. What's also bizarre at the moment, and I know people are getting up in arms about it, is what your old leader, Nigel Farage, I know you've had his tussles, but Nigel Farage has been the only one really to push the story about the migrants landing at Dover and then being put up in four-star hotels. The mainstream media have picked up on it now. But how come the French can be so good at nicking our fish, to use a cliche, but don't want to pluck the migrants out of the water as they leave Calais?
Yeah, well, as somebody said, you know, the fish are theirs, but the migrants are ours. Nigel's very good at this. Nigel will pick up on a headline and he'll run with it, and the press and the media get behind him. I was out in 2015, out in the jungle of Calais, and I was out there for 5 weeks looking at what was going on out there, who was out there. And it was all young men. There was no women at that point. I never saw one woman or one child. It was all young men. This is led by gangsters. You know, this is my tragedy. This is gangsters that's leading this and taking a vast amount of money off these people. These people should be turned around. They should be turned around in the Mediterranean. And we've spoken many times in the Parliament, European Parliament, and telling them that you need to send these people back in the Mediterranean. And people are dying. They died in the Mediterranean. We've already had deaths in the Channel. There's going to be more deaths, I'm quite sure, as the weather worsens. This is not, and I was asked time and time again, don't you have any sympathy for these people? Yes, I do. But this is not the way to come into this country. This is an illegal entry. These people are illegal. They should be sent back to France, if possible, get them back there. The thing with these people is, I found out, when you're speaking to them, they are told by British people over in the camps in France to destroy any identification that they've got. So when people say we should send them back to where they come from, well, where did they come from?
But when you say they're told by British people, do you mean British people smugglers, or do you mean the NGOs? You mean the charities?
You know, the NGOs, and there's lots of them out there. You know, the swampers, as I call them. They're out there educating these people what to say. Tell them that you was abused and, you know, you're homosexual. Tell them you're under 16. Educating these people what to say when they come across so that they get the sympathy. Telling them to destroy all paperwork so that, you know, they cannot be identified, and you don't know how old they are, you don't know where they've come from. They've landed on our shores and we're stuck with these people.
What about the argument, though, that, you know, and this is made quite often about Libya, for example, that we destroyed the infrastructure, we brought down regime change, and that we have a moral or ethical responsibility to these people?
Yeah, we do. Who did that? You know, that was a Tory government and the Labour government, whatever. You know, if we have an ethical, moral duty to these people, yes. But let's get over there. Let's go. You know, we're spending millions of billions over there trying to rebuild the country. Surely that's where they should be. They should be there rebuilding their country, helping to rebuild their country. So that's where any charity or any money or whatever, that should go to that country, to Libya, to Afghanistan. You know, all these places that we've got into these illegal wars, really, that we shouldn't have ever got into, you know, destroying these countries. We should be putting our efforts into making that country safe again and keeping those people, you know, in a safe environment in their own country, not bring them here. We've got them here in Hull. They're in a four-star hotel in Hull. You know, nobody can get near this hotel. It was a jewel of the city at one point.
The hotel near the bus station, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic hotel. Nobody can get anywhere near it now because there's security guards on the door. You know, this is not the way to carry on. We should be turning these people back. If we can't turn them back in the Med, turn them back in the Channel.
Let me ask you a direct question about that, because some people would say, you know, people like you, people like Farage, you're racist, you're little Englanders, you're bigots. What do you say to that?
No, we're not. Well, I certainly am, and I don't think Nigel is. I've known Nigel for over, probably 15, 20 years now. Nigel's not a racist. I'm not a racist. What we're saying is we love our country. You know, we want the best for our people in our country, but this is not the way to bring people into a country. This is an illegal entry. This is a legal crossing of that channel. It's a multi-million pound industry for its people smugglers, and it's not the way to do it. We need to stop this and stop the people dying in the channel, dying in the Mediterranean. Where do these people end up? They end up cleaning cars. They end up in cities like Leicester, you know, earning for less than the living wage. You know, this is where they end up. They end up in modern-day slavery.
OK, are you disappointed by Priti Patel? Because she talks a tough game, but does she actually follow it up, in your opinion?
Never. never. If you look at what she's saying, she's been here, she's been there, she's going to do this, she's going to do that. You know, she's going to bring the Royal Navy into the Channel. Well, I was out there January 2018 when there was a naval vessel in the Channel trying to stop these people. It had no effect whatsoever. It was just sailing up and down, wasting our diesel. It never had no effect. It has to be, pick these people up, turn them round, send a clear message to the people traffickers, we will not allow these people into our country. This is not the way to bring them in. Anyone that we pick up, we will turn around and take back to France.
Okay, where do you stand on immigration generally? Do you believe in immigration?
Yes, no country can exist or operate without immigration. We need to bring people into this country that's got skills that we need, you know, into the hospitals, into sciences. You know, we need these people in there. And, you know, we may get onto the new party that we've started. One of our policies is actually an open borders. We're saying, well, open borders is great. But if you're going to have open borders, somebody has to sponsor you. Somebody has to say, well, I will take a sponsorship for this person. I will make sure that they are working, that they're coming here with the skills that we need and are paying taxes. And, you know, we're quite open to immigration and we welcome immigration. This is illegal.
Okay. Now, talk to me about your new political party. You just mentioned that. What is it called? What's it trying to do? And what kind of membership has it got?
We've just got it. I mean, it's taken us months to get it through ELCOM, and that's another story, ELCOM. But we've got it up and running now. It's the Alliance for Democracy and Freedom. When I left UKIP, fantastic party. I will never, ever diss UKIP. It was a brilliant party. It was a party of the people, started as a street movement, worked up to be a political party. When it was started going in a different way to politically that I wanted to go, then I left it. What I've done with quite a few other people, a lot of them are ex-UKIP, is started this party. The name of the Alliance, you know, is what we are. We want to be an alliance. There are a lot of people out there now that are politically homeless. The won't vote Tory, the won't vote Labour, Lib Dems are dead in the water. So they're looking for a political home. We want to be that political home for them.
Well, some people would say that's the Brexit party and that Farage could easily revitalise that, particularly with the problems that Boris has had and the massive U-turns over COVID. What's your view on that?
The problem with the Brexit party, it was never a party. It was a one man's vision. It was a Tory-led and Tory-financed movement. It was never a party. I've never had any members. It had people that paid money to have an interest. This is a political party, what we've started. It has members. It has a democracy within the party, which the Brexit party never had. The membership will drive the policy, will drive the direction of the party. But as I say, it's looking for all of those groups. There's a lot of groups out there now that's maybe... Politics, to me, starts at council level. It starts at the grassroots. It starts at people wanting to make a difference in their community. That's where we're aiming for, these people making a difference. A lot of the people that are out there now stand as independents because they've no political party that they want to stand with. We want to bring all those people together. We want to say to them, we are a national party that will help you, that will guide you. We have lots of experience, 20, 30 years of experience in campaigning. We will help you, direct you into getting into local council and then take it on further into Westminster. It's a new party. It's just up and running at the moment. And, you know, that's the way we want to go with it.
Just before we go to the break, what do you feel about the fact you've worked so hard, 15 or 20 years, trying to get independence, trying to get Brexit? Are you feeling a bit deflated at the moment?
Yeah, I see what goes on. I see that, you know, I keep saying this is not what we campaigned for. We had a vision of what we campaigned for. That was to leave the European Union. We want to work with Europe. We want to trade with Europe. We just don't want to be ruled by Europe. And that is our direction. And we'll keep fighting on that. And if Boris does betray us, Boris is dead in the water and the Tory party will be dead in the water.
Okay, that's Mike and he's shooting from the lip. Mike Huckham, the former MEP for Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire. Don't dare go away because I want to ask him a bit about Farage. I want to talk about the BBC and woke culture. I want to talk about law and order in the light of the Andrew Harper case as well. It's all coming up on Shooting From The Lip with me, John Gaunt, and my special guest today, the former MEP, Mr. Mike Huckham. Back in a minute.
Shooting From The Lip.
Welcome back to the second part of Shooting From The Lip with my special guest, Mike Huckham. I want to go on to other subjects in a minute, Mike, but let's just talk about Nigel Farage for a second, can we? Are you personally disappointed in him and the way that he formed the Brexit Party? Did he jump too early, you know, and went out into the wilderness for a bit? Then when he came back with the Brexit Party, were you upset that it wasn't a proper political party as you described?
I mean, Nigel left UKIP basically back in 2016. He'd lost heart then. He'd done what he set out to do. We'd won the referendum and he'd basically then taken his eye off the ball. When it looked with Theresa May it was going to be a struggle and she wasn't going the way we wanted it to go, he decided, along with his Conservative friends, that they're going to start this new party up. That, to me, betrayed the thousands upon thousands of people over the years that campaigned, that went out, give up their own time, went out campaigning, leafleting, standing on the street corners, knocking on doors to get, for the referendum. Nigel betrayed all of those and went off with another party that wasn't really a party when he looked into it. And basically dissed all the UKIP and basically walked away from them and wouldn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, but the facts are, Mike, without Farage, it wouldn't have happened, would it? He was Mr. Charisma. He was the guy who made it happen. And a lot of people say he deserves a knighthood. What do you say?
I've always said to Nigel, and I've said it to his face, that Nigel, I would have put Nigel up against any political pundit in the country. Nigel was absolutely brilliant on the TV, on the radio, in the papers, absolutely fantastic. But to get Nigel there, he needed an army behind him, and that was UKIP. That was the people that went out there campaigning. It was those people that got Nigel elected. It was those people that got me elected. They didn't vote for me, they voted for UKIP. And that was all of those people out there campaigning and leafleting. So it works both ways. It's two edges of a knife. Nigel, fantastic. Never take it away from him. Absolutely brilliant.
Should he have been knighted?
Well, why not? They're knighting some woman that's back in the IRA, and she's what is she? She's communist or socialist or something, whatever.
Yeah, you're talking about Claire Fox.
Claire Fox. So she's getting a knighthood. And all these people, you know, what did she do for Brexit, really? I never saw her on any street corner campaigning for Brexit. And all of a sudden, she's in there. She's got a knighthood for Brexit. Nigel worked and took a lot of stick and a lot of threats. Remember that? He was, you know, the time when he was in the restaurant with his family when he's been threatened, took a lot of threats. So, yeah, if anybody's going to get a knighthood, Nigel should have been there.
OK, let's move on. Boris, has he been a disappointment as a PM? He's had terrible luck in a way, hasn't he, with COVID? But your views?
Yeah, he has had a bit of bad luck. COVID came along and, you know, he was in the middle of it then. But he seems to be a bit wishy-washy. He seems to be, changing his mind. What did Margaret Thatcher say? This lady's not for turning. Well, Boris is. He's made another U-turn today, hasn't he? With everything else that's going on, he's always U-turn. He's a weak prime minister, and I don't think he's going to be long before, from what I'm hearing from other political pundits, I don't think it's long before the Tories will be changing the leader and there'll be another one in the wings ready to come in.
Is that by his free will because he's still not recovered from COVID? Or do you think they're getting fed up with him?
I think the Tory party will move him. They'll be looking now, will Boris win the next election? They'll be looking, who can we get to win the next election? And I think Boris will be gone. They'll bring somebody in. I think it's one of the old war horses, you know, either Gove or somebody like that. One of the old staunch Tories that will come in and take his place.
OK, let's talk about a few things. Do you think the lockdown was right and do you think he did it too late?
I'm not an expert on this by any means. Right at the beginning of this, I thought, yeah, this is serious. This is an escape from some laboratory in China, whatever. This is serious stuff. But then we started getting these daily press conferences where, remember, we were going to wash our hands twice, singing happy birthday, don't touch your eyes, because you touch your eyes, it's going to get in through your body. When they asked several of their experts, when the press asked, will you be making masks compulsory? Professor Van Tam stood up there and several others stood there and said, there is no science anywhere in the world that actually says that masks are of any benefit whatsoever. That was right at the height of this pandemic, when people, we were told, were dying because of COVID. That was at the height. When we're now at the lowest ebb, where the deaths are decreasing, where the contamination is decreasing, now we're all having to wear a mask. I think the message has been terrible. It's so confusing to so many people.
Yeah, do you wear a mask yourself?
No, I'll refuse. If a shop asks me to put a mask on, I'll walk out. I won't wear it.
Do you think our children should be back at school?
Yes, absolutely. Again, the science tells you that the children are one of the least at risk from this.
But you just told me you didn't believe the science earlier. How come you believe that bit?
Well, because I don't believe that this is now a risk. I would have kids at school. They should have been at school a lot earlier to me. They should be at school doing what kids do. And, you know, the mask thing, to me, is an irrelevance.
Okay, where are you on Odishi Rishi and his furlough scheme and, indeed, his Eat Out to Help Out campaign?
Well, it's crippled the economy. How many trillion are we in debt? The country, I mean, it's those kids at school that will still be paying for this. The economy is absolutely trash. We need to get people back to work. We need to get the economy back on its feet. You know, the Eat Out, what was it, £10 or something, I don't know. And that was on a Monday and a Tuesday. I've heard people in restaurants say, well, we used to get lots of people coming in Thursday, Friday. Those same people now come in on a Monday, Tuesday. We don't see them on Thursday, Friday. Everything has been wishy-washy. It's been a complete mess from start to finish.
Would Labour have been any better?
Absolutely not. I mean, Labour, unbelievable. I don't see what their point is at the moment. How are they? You know, what are they doing? They don't represent the working man and woman. They certainly don't represent anybody at all.
Okay, so let me just focus in on that for a moment then. Are you saying that the furlough scheme should be stopped now?
Yes. Get people back to work. Get them back into the offices. Get them working. Get them back into the factories. Let's start rebuilding the economy.
But do you think we can actually rebuild city centres? Because I would put forward to you that the high street was already dead. People were already shopping on the internet before COVID. How are we going to revitalise it? Debenhams have gone bust. You know, John Lewis is basically going bust. Everybody at JD Sports is. How are city centres ever going to be revitalised? We need some big new ideas, don't we, Mike?
Yeah, we do. We need new ideas on the high street. And as you say, this is the fail on the COVID killed off those shops that was maybe struggling. This was a death knell for them. This really finished them off. Will we see those shops coming back? Let's hope so. You know, I'd rather go into a shop and look in the browse and look at what there is and rather than buy online. You know, it's a lot better experience. So you've got to make it so that people want to go shopping and put in car parking charges in city centres on a weekend. You know, and people say, well, I'm not going there. It's going to cost me a fortune. You've got to make it a pleasurable experience. People have got to want to go shopping on a Saturday with their missus, pulling him round, the guy round all over the town, spending his money. It's got to be a pleasurable experience.
Or her money. Do you think we're ever going to get back to a normal?
Well, let's hope so, because this, to me, is not normal. It's ridiculous, John, that I can go to a shop and that I will be refused entry because I haven't got a mask. So I'm so fed up because I haven't got a mask on, I'll walk across the road and walk into the pub where I don't need a mask. Barmy. It's all barmy. It's absolutely crackers.
Okay, let's move on. I mean, we touched on it earlier. What about the woke culture? Where are you in this kind of woke culture? We had the BBC today, as we record this on Wednesday. They've just done a U-turn on the proms. What did you make of the row over Land of Hope and Glory?
These are our songs. This is what makes Britain great. You know, people love to get up and sing these songs. I don't think they look at it and start looking at, you know, the verses and thinking, oh, this is a bit touchy. They just get out there and they sing and it gets them up and, you know, they feel proud to be British. And it's ridiculous. And this is the BBC that stopped this. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this, John. I remember back in the early 70s, in the RAF, I was on a little island in Mazira, 900 men, no women, just 900 men. I was there for 9 months. And we used to have a radio where we used to listen to Anti-Babe. Anti-Babe used to come on the Welsh service. Used to listen to the Gun Show. You see how long ago it is. But we took that Anti-Babe as a contact with the UK. What they was telling us was true. Well, that's not the case now. What happened to Anti-Babe? Why am I getting so? I won't even watch TV. I won't watch news, the Sky, BBC. I won't watch it. I want the facts, John. I don't want to know what that presenter's political views are. I want the facts. Tell me what happened. Don't tell me what your views on it are.
Do you want to defund the BBC, scrap the licence fee, scrap the BBC?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely. Scrap it. Get rid of it. It's gone. It's a shame because it was, you know, a community service. It did give out information to the people of the country, to communities. That is gone. I'm sorry to say it's been taken over by these woke presenters. There's one or two reporters that are still out there now that are the old school, but...
I mean, the Britannia row and Land of Hope and Glory was also part of BLM. What did you make of Black Lives Matter and the pulling down of the statue?
Well, it's disgraceful. Again, this is our history. Why should they have the right to pull these things down? This is criminal damage. Bang them in the neck and throw away the key. You know, this is our history.
Yeah, but we need to know about our history, don't we? And our kids need to know about the evils of slavery. I mean, is it right to still have a statue up to an out-slaver, somebody like Colston, who that's what he was in Bristol? Is it right to still have that statue?
Yes, because you can talk about him and say, Dad, who's that mister there? Oh, that's Mark Colston. Well, who's he? So then you tell the lad what it is, you know, who he is, what he did in the past. But let's not forget that these people built Bristol. If there wouldn't be no Bristol, if there wasn't for the likes of people like Colston. So they built Bristol. You cannot trash history. You cannot get rid of history by pulling it down, by getting rid of it. They did that in Russia, didn't they?
OK, let's just stop there, because now we've only got about 60 or 70 seconds left. What do you make of the killing of Andrew Harper and, of course, Lizzie, his widow, wanting an Andrew's Law, where if any member of the emergency services are killed, that's a mandatory life sentence? Is that the kind of thing you'd like to see?
Yeah, I'm fully in support of that. These people go up there, risk their lives every day of the week for us, for our safety. You know, and when somebody comes along, and they must have known that that guy was behind him, if they didn't stop, they murdered that guy. These, I'm fully in support of the police service, and if to me, it should be a mandatory life sentence. And life should mean life, John, not 15 years. Life sentence for those who murder any of the emergency services.
And with your new political party, you think you're representing the views of a lot of ordinary working class folk, do you?
Yes, because I'm now sitting, I'm not in a country pile somewhere. I'm not in London, in some, you know, central London somewhere. I'm sitting in a two-up, two-down terraced house in the middle of Hull, you know, and I go to the pub and I speak to people and I speak to people in the supermarket when they allow me in. And these are the views of people that I speak to.
Brilliant. Thank you for talking to me. Stay there for a moment. That's Mike Huckham, the former MEP. What do you make of what he had to say? I'd love to hear your views. He was certainly shooting from the lip, and I'll be back next week with another guest. Hopefully he'll do exactly the same. You've been listening to Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, here on Sputnik International. Thanks for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.